I'm worried about sinners. I'm worried about the backsliders. I'm really concerned about people who are not ready for God, who are not ready for the Lord to come. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn into Daniel 7:9. Daniel the prophet, 7:9. While you're turning there, people are going about their daily life, living it up and taking no thought that they will soon stand before God and be judged. They don't think about the condition of their soul. What I titled this, I know it's serious, Standing Before God at the Judgment to Give an Account of Our Life. When God reads the record, God's going to read the record. Hold your place there. Listen close before we start this lesson. God is keeping a record of our life, how we live, everything we say, and everything we do here in this world. He's keeping a record in His book.
Right.
It will be read back to us at the judgment. The only way we can keep our record clear is through repentance, forgiveness of sin, and the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. That and that only will clear the record and make you worthy to enter God's holy heaven. Now notice, there are two different judgments in the Bible. There is the Bema judgment that is only for Christians. At this judgment, Jesus Himself will judge us for our service for Him, and rewards will be given. I touched a little bit on last week about running to obtain an incorruptible crown. Here, Jesus will judge our motives, our faithfulness to His cause, and how we worked for Him. That's what He's going to judge. Totally. Our talents and gifts that were given to us will be judged in how well we used them for His glory. How good of a witness that we were to others. Our helps and our service in God's kingdom work in ministering to others. Even our worship and our prayer life will be judged.
Right.
Today I want to focus on the other judgment, the great white throne judgment. This will be the most fearful and dreaded time when the lost, the ungodly, and the unsaved will stand before the Almighty God to give an account of their sinful life. Holy Lord, Holy God. Daniel went into a vision. Notice, I noticed, till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, portraying purity, holiness, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books, plural, were opened. This will be a time of dreaded fear when sinners and backsliders, yes, I said backsliders, will stand before the throne to face a holy God, to be judged of their wrongs and their sins that were never repented of.
Come on.
Holy God. Holy God. Hebrews 9:27. Ronnie, you want to read it?
And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment.
Read it one more time.
And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment.
There's an old saying, and I'm sure y'all have probably heard it. It says that there are two things that every person will have to do in this life. You have to pay your taxes, and you got to die. You got to pay your taxes, and you got to die. But notice.
They change that.
Well, the Word of God is a saying here in this scripture that there are two things that every person will have to do, every soul. Unless Jesus comes first to rapture us, you will die. There is an appointment with death that you will meet, and there's no getting out of it. You will leave this world and pass into eternity. But that's not all. That's not all. Each person then will stand before God to give an account of all their works, of how they lived. At this judgment, God will render to every person according to the deeds they've done in their body, whether it be good or evil. As they stood before God, the books, plural, were open, and another book was open, which is the Lamb's Book of Life. How many could say today with assuredness, I know my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
I know it's recorded there. Nobody can take it out. The devil cannot erase it. Thank God when I knelt on my knees and I prayed to Jesus and he washed me in his blood and he saved my soul. I don't know, Sister Sheila, if it was an angel that keeps a record and has that book before him. And he takes a pen and writes and inscribes our name in that book. I don't know. But somebody recorded Tommy Lee Romans in that Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Raise your little hand and say, I'm glad that he wrote my name down in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, yes.
Praise you, Lord. Listen to this in Acts 17 and 22. Paul, Brother Ron, was passing through Athens, Greece, preaching Jesus and the Word of God. The people there were completely given over to worshiping idols and false gods. That's all they knew. They did not know any better. Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I saw an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God whom you ignorantly worship." Acts 17 and 30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The Bible said that God at one time winked at it. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. The Greek word for winked, it means that God passed over it for a time, not holding them into immediate account to judge them, because they had not yet heard the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where there is no law, there's no conscience of sin. The Spirit of God has to convict people to show them their wrongs and sins, to call them to repentance. This is the reason we need holiness preaching.
Yes.
This is the reason we need holiness teaching.
Yes.
That is what convicts people and draws them to God to get them ready for eternity. I want you to know the only thing that will bring conviction is the truth of God's holy word.
Yes.
We have to have preaching. We have to have that anointed message that comes from God's heart. That you must be born again. You cannot enter heaven until you're born again and your life is changed. Until Jesus comes into your heart, you are a sinner. They might be some right now in the Amazon basin down in South America, over in the jungles of Africa, that maybe have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ yet, but they have a conscience. Somewhere, sometime down through your life, God's going to send a message to you. He'll send somebody to witness to you. He'll send a preacher's message to you. He'll give you a dream or a vision to let you know that you need to be saved. Somebody died for you, shed his blood on a cross for you. Ain't you glad God came by your way one day? And he put an old rugged cross up in your path and said, son and daughter, I loved you this much. That old cross stands between you and the gates of a burning hell. I'm glad he stopped me. I'm glad he got a hold of me and he turned me around. Raise your little hand and say, Jesus, turn me around, dear Lord, and draw me. I told the Lord I want to forever stay near that old rugged cross. I want to stay under the blood, that holy cleansing blood. Oh, Jesus, Lord, don't let me stray away. Lord, don't let me drift away. One of these days I'll stand and I will give an account of how that I've treated the Lord and this good salvation.
Come on, yes.
Oh, God.
Amen.
He winked at it. But he doesn't now.
No.
One of the signs that Jesus is coming, and it said in Matthew 24, I ain't read it, it's in there. And when this gospel is preached unto all the ends of the earth, I'll keep it out. Then shall he return. Come on. God's giving everybody a chance.
Yes, he
has. I don't want to let my chance go. No. Are you all ready for some more? I'm telling you, if this ain't for you, and I believe it is, it's for every one of us to stay sensitive and stay near the Lord. Don't get away from him. But I'm telling you, if we ever needed a burden to pray for the lost, pray for our families and backsliders, it's now. You better get right. You better get right. Times are running out. Oh, God. Because, verse 31, he, God, hath appointed a day. Appointed a day. In the which he will judge the world in righteousness.
Yes.
By that man whom he hath ordained, Jesus Christ. God will judge every person by what they know. What they've been shown. What they've been taught.
Right.
By the Holy Ghost. And by the Word of God. God's Spirit convicts a man and a woman. He will show them their wrongs and their sins. He calls them to repent and change their ways to serve the Lord. Can I stand flat-footed here today behind this sacred desk? There is no excuse. God will not wink at it any longer. Can I tell us here today, there's no excuse not to serve God
and back away from him and get cold in your soul. You're going to stand before God and give an account of what you know, what's been shown to you, what you have felt, and you knew that it was real. And Lord, I'm telling you, this holiness way is the only way. It is the right way that leads to the pearly gate. And nothing any less than that will get you into heaven. I'm preaching to myself too, but asking God to stir, Lord, stir my heart. Stir me, Lord. James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And sin cannot enter in to God's divine presence. Yes. I know better, Lord. I know what you showed me. Your way is right. It's righteous. It's holy. And I've got to go your way, Lord. One of these days we'll stand and look him in the face to be judged. He has showed the old man, Micah 6:8. Micah 6:8, he has showed the old man what is good. And what doeth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly that which is right, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Do you want it to be well with you? Do you want to be blessed?
Come on.
How many wants God's hand and favor in your life?
Yes.
I feel him.
Oh,
I want to feel it.
Yes.
I want to feel his approval.
Yes.
Hey, Lord, I don't want to go a day without feeling this. How can people stay out of the house of God? How can people just forsake the Lord, God? How can they let the things of this world enter into their life and forget the Lord that redeemed them? My Lord, I tell you, if I get down to a place, hey Lord, that I don't even know my wife or don't even know my own name, that somebody would come and say, Jesus is good, I know him. I might not have a memory like I used to have, but I know him. Hey, Lord, raise your little hand. I know him. Hey, Lord, I've served him for a lot of years. He's done me nothing but good. He's blessed me. I feel him. He's kept me. He's preserved me. He's clothed me. He's fed me. He's fed. He's kept me. And Lord, supplied my every need. He's been good to me.
Yes.
I know him.
Yes.
I'd like to meet him in righteousness.
Yes.
Not have any condemnation in my heart whatsoever. None. Because I know I'm walking close to him. I'm praying. I love his word. I love his ways. There's no withdrawal there. There's no shame there. What happened to Adam and Eve in the garden? They would walk with God in the cool of the evening. Perfect harmony. Pure purity. It was an age of innocence. Complete innocence. But when they ate of the forbidden fruit and broke God's laws, immediately the spirit of condemnation, dread, and fear entered into their hearts.
Yes.
Can anybody tell me what was the first thing they did?
They
ran and hid. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes you get around certain people, they're not in church, you know, and a lot of people will claim, hey, I'm all right. But ain't it amazing when a holiness person comes by them, they can't even look you in the eye?
Yeah.
What's wrong? How you been living? Have you lost your prayer life? You don't love him? You're not walking close to him anymore like you did?
What's wrong? Is there condemnation in your life that you can't look a holy man of God in the eyes?
Listen to the wise man Solomon, had wisdom more than any other man except Jesus Christ. The wise man made this statement when he was old, looking back over his life and viewed his own vanities and the vanities of this world and the fleeting pleasures of sin. And when he looked back and he saw it, he cried out in his writing with regret as he closed his book of Ecclesiastes. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Somewhere down the road, whether you die of a slow sickness or a sudden death, remember this, one day you will breathe your final breath. Your body that you live in will die. Your soul will depart and leave this world. You'll pass into eternity, and you somewhere will stand before God at the throne of judgment to give an account of all that you have done. Did you put God first? Have you put God first in your life? How many is here today? I'm endeavoring, Brother Tommy, to put God first in my life.
Amen.
Number one.
Yes.
Do you love him and serve him with all of your heart? Do you pray and read your Bible, his word, and seek his face to live right every day? Have you taken your salvation serious to hold on to it? To cherish it? Not to lose it? Or have you walked away and forgotten God and no longer have his spirit dwelling in your heart like you did? Oh, God. I thank you, Lord. Listen to the patriarch Job. I'm sure Brother Ron knows this. A record is being kept on every one of us. Look at the old Job. For a moment, he lived way back in a time before Abraham, when there were no written laws of God. Job had no Bible to read like we do, to go by like we have today. How many's got a Bible with you right now?
Yeah.
Hold it up in the air. I love this. I love this. My mommy would read to me out of her Bible. She sowed the holy seed of God's word in my heart. I love God's holy word. It'll keep you from the pitfalls and the snares of this life. Oh, God. With no Bible to read, yet Job knew by his conscience. Say conscience.
Conscience.
Conscience. That there was an almighty God who was righteous and just.
Right.
He knew that the Lord kept a record of his life on high. How many here today wants to live right and keep your record clear?
Yes.
Phew, hallelujah to the Lord. How many here today wants to keep a good conscience inside of you? When you're down to nothing, you still can maintain a good conscience inside. Job, oh Job, uttered these words, Brother Ronnie, during his great suffering and trial. Job 16 and 19. Behold, my witness is in heaven.
Yes.
and my record is on high. God has witnessed to my life everything that I've done, how I have lived, and it has been recorded in his book.
Yes.
I'm a living according to my conscience. Praise be to the Lord. How do you know the Lord will show you when things ain't right?
Amen. He will.
He will.
He'll show you. If you ever have a red flag, it just pop up within you, you see a red flag, you better, God's trying to get your attention.
Right.
If there is something uneasy in you, that you just don't feel right about something, pray about it. Pray about it. It could be that you may be getting ready to make a choice or go a certain direction and everything, and if you don't feel right about your choices and where they will lead you, you better listen to God. God gave us a little conscience on the inside that we could feel when things just ain't right. Can you say, Lord, let me feel, God, when things ain't right?
Amen. Amen.
Check me.
Yes.
Check me, Lord. I don't want to lose. Holy God, holy God. I was laid off back in it from 82 to 84. 82 years. 4 months and 14 days, I think it was. 2 months. But anyway, I did remember it. I did little odd jobs. Mary and I took a week to pay her bills. And Mary's dad, he had a big white truck. I know y'all remember that. I'd haul gravel for people. I'd run completely out of unemployment. I wouldn't draw a dime. I remember me and Mary got down at the couch. Listen to this. This is what God will do. We lived in that trailer over there. It was a rugged trailer, old trailer. We got down on our knees at that couch. We held hands. We was down to nothing. We couldn't even eat out at McDonald's. That's bad. You can't eat at McDonald's. It's just about getting that way now. Get a burger, fries. It's going to cost you something. I held her hand. She held mine. Listen to this. This really happened. I said, Jesus. I said, God, I love you. I thank you. Lord, you've never let us down. You've always supplied our needs. And I said, you know we've got bills coming. And you know my heart that we are trying to be honest and pay our bills.
Yes.
I said, would you open up a door, God, I pray. Open up a door to supply our needs. And all of a sudden, on our door, this happened. With her knuckles. Mary's mom was at the door. Went over there. I think part of us was wiping tears.
Yeah.
Went over and opened the door. Sister Evans come in. She said, I just got a phone call. Said, would you want, Mr. Graver down here that owned the printing press here on, down in wherever, forgot now. Said, do you want to go down there? He's got work for you to do. And he's got some stuff he wants you to haul. Wants some coal because it was in the fall time. The people's going to need some coal. People's going to need some gravel for their parking lot. And he had this big printing press. You ever been in there, Brother Ron? Big old printing press right there. And he put me in there, and he kept me busy, and I was folding all them papers and the pages that's going to go in these books and everything to make these books. And I said, man, alive, Lord, you answered that real fast. We never did fall behind on a payment that we owed anybody.
Right.
Until a phone call come through and says, Tommy Romans. I said, yeah, this is in Cobalt back at that time. Said, you want your job up here at the nickel plant back? I said, yeah, when do I come back? Come on. I spent 42 years as Special Metals, Huntington Alloys. And I can say today, God looks down in our hearts to see if we're honest or not.
Yes.
If we're living right or not. Maybe a good time just raise your hand. Jesus, I know, God, you know where I'm at. You have taken good care of me, and you will, Lord, until you call me home. I put you first, and I love you, Lord Jesus.
I want to serve you to do what's right, God. When I face you on that day of judgment, Lord, I have no regrets, God, nothing I can hide my face over. Praise be to the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, God. Thank you, Lord.
Job uttered these words.
Come on.
In the depth of his suffering and loss, he uttered these words, till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me.
Yes.
My righteousness, yes. I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. I know God's keeping a record, and I'm keeping a good conscience so that I'll be able to stand before him on that day. Oh,
yes.
God. Holy Lord.
Oh, God.
The age of technology. I want you to know that we live in an age of technology.
Amen.
There has never been the likes of it before.
Come on.
Knowledge fills this earth. Right now, over 10,000 satellites are circling our skies overhead.
Come on.
Pumping information down 24/7 to our computers and smartphones. With mesmerizing sights and sounds. Listen to this, Brother Ron. We now have 8.3 billion people living in our world today. Out of these 8.3 billion people, 7.4 billion of them now have a smartphone. It won't be long till every soul will have one in their hand to surf the World Wide Web. It's an information explosion of knowledge. There's no language barrier now, because there's apps you can put on your phone that interprets every language. There's a one world government swiftly forming right now that will soon be ruled by the Antichrist that will know everything about you going and coming. The technology is here to connect every person to this global system and its evil power. Dear souls that are hearing me today, you better not buy into it. If you're flirting with the world now, you better turn back to God lest you lose your soul. If you have drifted one inch from the Lord and what is holy, if you're not committed to him and have his spirit and his presence in your heart, you better drop these modern vibes and run to God as hard as you can and get reconnected to him, lest ye be pulled in to its vacuum and lose your very soul. Oh, soul of man, look around you. You can see and hear it on the news. The world is becoming one, as it was in the days of Babel under Nimrod, who was a type of the Antichrist forming a one world government system that pushes God out and deifies man to become his own God and his own ruler, to do his own thing. Our world has forsaken the Lord and turned to their own ways. In an age of AI, artificial intelligence, it's easier to sin and forget God right now than it's ever been. Man says we will work out our own problems. We don't need God or the Bible. We can make it on our own. We don't need his laws to tell us how that we should live. We got our own technology and our own knowledge. We got our own fads, our own styles in this modern age of entertainment. And I tell you to shake it off of you. I need Jesus. I need what's holy. I need what's sanctified.
God. I need the presence of God. I don't want the world to get a hold of me and pull my mind away from the Lord. Raise your hand and say, God, help us, Lord. The Antichrist will soon rise, my God. It's a coming.
Yes. Come on.
Oh God.
Come on.
Oh God.
Come on.
Where are you at, Solo Man? Where are you at, Solo Man? Do you preach like you used to preach? Do you sing like you used to sing? Are you anointed like you used to be anointed?
Come on.
Holy God, you still got the vision. You still got the burden. You still got the desire. Does it still burn and churn in your heart? Do you feel that upward draw? Has the Lord got a hold? Has he still got a hold of the strings of your heart? Is he still pulling you? Do you have that confidence and that assurance, Lord? I know that I can feel that upward tug in my soul. I know that everything is all right with me.
Come on.
You feel it?
Feel it? Artificial intelligence, if you all been keeping up with this or not, it is scary. It is scary.
Yes.
AI, and they're building computers right now in the likeness of a man with synthetic skin, eyes that even have the flesh touch. And they are pumping the whole world's knowledge into the chip inside of that humanoid robot. And they're now training it to be able, with its sensors behind their eyeballs, they can tell all about you. They can read your actions, and they know about you. Dear God, it's scary.
Yeah.
How many knows God's got an all-seeing eye? He knows all about
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Oh,
come
on. Oh God.
Come on. His eyes upon the righteous. Come on.
Children, when I study for you all, I want you to know this today. I love my church and I love everybody here. And when I preach and I teach, I am trying to help myself and help you all to make it. Lord. Oh, God. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be left behind, Jesus. Lord, when that trumpet sounds and you shout with a shout to call me up, Lord, I want to be ready. I don't want to lose out and be left behind. Oh, God. Do you not understand, dear soul? You are swiftly racing toward the judgment to give it an account of your life. Are you spending your life for God? Are you walking near to Him? Do you really know Him? Are you close to Him? Do you have and feel His Spirit deep inside of your heart? Did you know that you're saved and all right with God? Are you ready right now to stand before Him at the judgment? Do you have what you used to have? Are you where you used to be in the Lord? Are you doing what He's called you to do? Children, we're coming down to the end. We're never home than we've ever been.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, let me finish this right fast. 1 Peter 4:17. Kayla, I know you're writing it. 1 Peter 4:17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous, say it with me,
scarcely.
God,
That means you can't humdrum run around. You cannot be like a desicle. You can't come to church only when you want to and stay home for days on end. Hey, Lord, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? I want you to look at this word scarcely. The Greek word is molis, M-O-L-I-S, which means with difficulty, through hardship, with great effort, and by a narrow margin. What Peter is saying to us in this verse by the Holy Ghost, if we God's own people, if we have to press through these hard times, to love and serve God, to enter into His heaven, where does that leave the sinner and the ungodly and the backslider? Where does that leave the lukewarm in heart that have lost their love for the Lord Jesus? I'm telling us all here today, you cannot enter God's holy heaven unless you serve Him and love Him with all of your heart. There ain't a one in here that don't have faults and failures and flaws. We're not perfect, hey Lord, but I know somebody that looks down in your heart and he sees your desire to love and serve him. Raise your little hand and praise him. Lord, you know that I love you and I want to make heaven my home. I've got my faults and my weaknesses, but I got God in my heart. Hey, God.
He's in there, Brother Ron. I wish, Sister Sheila, I wish I could do 100,000 more for God than what I'm doing. Holy Lord. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. A message. The blood of Jesus must cover your soul and your sins be washed away. You must be dedicated and daily committed. You cannot forget God, reject God. You cannot trade God. You cannot shun Him and go your own way. If we expect to hear Jesus say on that day, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of the Lord, you will want to be in His house. You will want to read His word. You will want to pray and worship. If you don't have that desire in you, you are backslid in your heart. You're lost and you are undone. Serious. This is serious. I wish we had a whole house full of people today. Backsliders and sinners. You're being weighed in the balance and found wanting. You've been out in the darkness too long. And God's getting ready to come. Holy Lord, can I ask you, what is the book of life whose names are recorded in it? How does our name get in that book? When you repent of your sins and you give Jesus your heart and you're saved and born again, your name is written there in the Lamb's book of life. That means you belong to Him and you know it. I want to ask you, as I swiftly here come to a close, is there a chance that our name can be blotted out of the book of life after it has been recorded? Yes. Listen to Jesus Himself talking to the church in Sardis. Revelation 3:1, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God. I know thy works, but thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Listen to this. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out, Jesus is speaking here, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. It means your name is in there. And it says that Jesus himself can blot it out.
Yes.
Children, this is serious.
Yes.
But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Psalm 69 and 28, David praying concerning his enemies, his persecutors, and the wicked. Psalm 69, 20, and let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not written with the righteous. Not only was David aware that a person's name could be blotted out, but Moses also in Exodus 32:33. Israel worshipped the golden calf. Moses asked God to forgive the people, even saying, blot me out of your book which you have written. And the Lord said unto Moses, listen, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Children, we better take heed and take this lesson in our heart. There is a danger that we can lose out.
Right.
A danger. If the Lord should come right now, we've got loved ones and friends everywhere. I love them, but they will be left behind because they don't have the Spirit of God in their hearts.
Right.
Yeah.
Take heed when you go out these doors, you go home, what you do, what you allow, what you watch, what you hear, what you entertain, where you go. Be very careful. Keep God in your heart. He's